We read for you. Atlantis, the Dark Continent. A book by Paul Williamson and Linda Braithwaite. Read by JP on Wolf Spirit Radio. Atlantis, the Dark Continent. You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio.
Okay. Well, here we are. Good evening. I'm nearing the end. I don't know if it's maybe more than two shows. So, let's see. We're now up to chapter 17. The Life of Jawley. Personal reflections from Paul. Since I was little, and I was aware of Atlantis as a legend, I felt very emotional about the ultimate destruction of the continent. I felt both fascinated and appalled. And, as soon as I had begun to consider the experience of past lives, and that Atlantis may really have existed, then somehow I knew that I was present around the time when all this happened. I felt so sad, and a strong sense of nostalgia for the lost continent, until I went into my regression as Jawley. I had no idea of what I was doing then, except the sense that people would not listen. The details of what I experienced in my regression sessions as Jawley came as a complete surprise to me, yet it felt right and true. It took me 5 sessions to complete this regression. It was a mammoth undertaking. And so, in writing out my account of this lifetime, I have divided the telling into 5 parts, one for each of the regression sessions. The experience itself appears to encompass many of the facets of Atlantean life during this end period. For me, this regression session was extremely emotional, and the sense of utter loss was hard to bear. During the course of these regressions, my marriage broke up, and so I faced the loss of everything precious and dear to me, from both the past life experience and my present circumstance at the same time. I do not feel that such a coincidence occurred by chance. Coping with these regression experiences was extremely challenging. I had to learn to accept loss, that finally, from every ending, there can be a new beginning. However, it was hard. From my childhood, I was conditioned not to cry, and so tears did not come easily to me. But during this regression session, and with the crisis in my marriage, it was like a dam bursting inside of me. For days on end, I was crying and sobbing. My feelings had to be felt without any barriers. At the conclusion of this regression, when I died as Jawley after Atlantis had been destroyed, life on this world had completely changed. My home was gone. In my present life, the same was true. There were some big lessons for me to learn so I could integrate this. Again, though, I felt I was being shown that inner and outer experiences come to us at the right time. It is up to us how we deal with them. This was a series of events where I needed a lot of support and yet felt very alone at the same time. For those souls who were involved during the destruction of Atlantis, the transcripts of this regression may contain some uncomfortable resonances. What is written is faithful to the regression sessions as they unfolded. Okay. All right. Like I said, this may be triggering, so, and he indeed said, this may be triggering. So, be warned, this may be triggering. Paul's regression, Jawley, part 1. Early life. I can see the boats in the harbour, and the water is lapping very gently against the shore. This is one of my favorite places to be. As I take in the energies of my surroundings, I can feel myself drifting inwards. I love the peace of the sea. At these times, I can almost feel at one with the life around me. But the air is cold, and naturally cold. A shiver passes through me and I feel very uneasy. It is a feeling that all is not well. My name is Jolie and I am 17 years old. I live in a house situated quite close to the harbour. Our house is made of stone and wood in the traditional manner. There are many houses like ours fairly close together with narrow alleys in between. We live in a medium-sized town between two cities that exist further around the coast. Our house has more space than the others because we have a workshop. My father is a fine craftsman and he builds boats. I am expected to help him and have spent many years learning the craft so I can support him with his work. He makes boats sometimes for his own use, but mostly to sell. This is how he earns money for our family to live, and his skills have come down through the generations of our family before us. Sometimes my father travels in his boats and helps merchants with their trade. Our harbour is a very interesting place to me. For there are people here who come from other lands. Their skin is different in colour to ours, and they do not speak our language. Usually their boats are more primitive than ours, but they are still welcome to step upon our shores as long as they do not cause trouble. A few of these seamen who have been here many times can indeed speak some words of our language. These foreign traders need people amongst them who can make themselves understood. I like to talk to these people, the friendly ones at least, and learn about their travels. Once, my father went to visit another land to the east. He described to us how the vegetation differed from our own, and how that land was flat. I was quite fascinated, but I feel I love my own land better than I think I would any other. Besides my father, I also lived together with my mother and my sister. When I was younger, we also had our two grandparents with us, and we needed to look after them, because they were very old. But they have since died, and now it is just the four of us. My mother has a disability with her hip. Many years ago she had a fall, and so now she can only walk with the aid of a stick. This happened when we were quite young. Consequently, my sister has had to take on many duties around the home that otherwise would have been for my mother to do. It has meant that I have felt more obliged as well to make sure that I helped my father sufficiently. My parents have been very kind to us, and I love and respect them very much. We have... Buddy. Corpse. It's the corpse moment. Hey, let me just corpse. Stop that. My parents have been very kind to us, and I love and respect them very much. We have had a rather sheltered upbringing, and our education has taken place at home. When I was little, my grandfather helped quite a lot with this. However, we do not mix so much with people outside the family, and have tended to keep ourselves to ourselves. The other member of my family is my sister. Her name is Sheena, and she is 2 years older than me. Besides her work around the home, my sister is very interested in healing. She spends much of her spare time at the local healing temple. Sheena must have some abilities because she has been accepted to train and learn some of those healing practices from the temple. She seems very content to learn all she can about healing. Sometimes, she shows me some of the techniques she has been learning. I find this very interesting. I think that if I did not have to help my father with the boats, I would like to follow the path of healing too. I can feel energies with my hands, and I sense an aliveness from the earth spirit very strongly in certain places. She now has shown me how to channel healing energy to help my mother. When I have tried this, I have managed to take away the pain from my mother's hip for a considerable length of time. My sister and I are close, and we depend upon each other a lot. The Earth Sanctuary. When I have spare time, I like to go down to the woodlands and hills away from the densely populated town where I don't feel very comfortable. These woodlands and hills extend towards the mountains that are further inland. Here I feel more free and at home with the energies. On the top of a hill behind the town, there is a cleared circle of land. This is the Earth Sanctuary where I go. It is my favorite place to be. Shinar showed it to me. Sometimes we come here together. I have received blessings here. It is one of the times when I am visiting the Earth Sanctuary. I hardly notice that anyone else is here. It is very quiet and still. There is a particular stone where I like to sit, near the center of the clearing. I go there now. The warm, dense presence of the trees around the clearing helps me feel very safe. Closing my eyes, I start to meditate. There is a great sense of familiarity in doing this. Then, slowly, I start to sense the presence of someone from spirit with me. I feel energy like hands upon my shoulders, and a great feeling of peace passes through me. When I finally feel this energy lifting, I sense this presence of light, and I can only describe it like a blessing, as a form of spiritual energy that is wishing me well and protecting me. This experience gives me the feeling as if God is with me, not only the spirit of the earth, but God, who is the creator of all things. I feel this within me. I try to save my visits to the Earth Sanctuary for special occasions, but it is a place of solace for me whenever I need inner nourishment. I am surprised and disappointed that not more people appear to come here, even though it is very beautiful. I am sure that my sister loves it as much as me, although we do not speak of our personal experiences. Often, though, when we have come, we have met hardly anyone else in the vicinity. With Shinar, we tended to come and leave in silence. It makes us feel much more bonded together. When I think about it, I wonder about the beliefs of other people. I understand that in former times all the houses used to have small sanctuaries built within them. From writings I have studied, I believe that this is so. However, in our modern society this does not seem to be the case. There are many houses I know where there is no sacred space for spiritual practices at all. This makes me question what people can believe to give meaning to their lives. In our house, we have a little room which we use as a sanctuary. Our house, of course, has been passed down through the generations. Together, we go there and pray together and be with the flame. This helps us feel peace with each other, although I know I gain much more peace from the Earth Sanctuary. Fire. It is later now. I am 21 years old and I have been spending time with my sister at the temple. We have come back home and I am staring at a smoldering mold. We have come back home and I am staring at a smoldering mound of ashes. Our house has been burnt. I think that my mother and father have been killed. The stone rubble is all that remains. A few people are watching nearby, but no one is doing anything to help. My sister and I are standing together motionless. I can hardly believe my eyes. A few hours ago I was chatting with my parents, but now I am sure that they are dead. How could something like this happen to them? They were such good people. They didn't deserve this. My thoughts are racing inside. Was this an accident, or was this intended as an act of violence and murder? I can hardly imagine my father having enemies. But I know there were people with whom he had disagreements. My mother and father were careful around the home. They were not people who would create this kind of accident. The workshop is burnt as well. The only fire in the house was the flame in the sanctuary or the stove in the kitchen. However, both these sources of fire were very well contained and protected. It couldn't have been an accident. With my inner senses, I know that the fire was deliberately lit. As I look across at my sister, I feel that she knows this too. My mind is in turmoil. I could try to trace those people who killed my parents, because someone must know about it. However, I do not want to let bitterness take over me. I think I need to accept that this was something that was meant. Or, if it was not meant, then it was something that I can do nothing about. So I must let it go. If people want to do that to others and kill, then I feel that in the end they will cause their own undoing and there is little I can do about it. If I start trying to hurt others because they hurt me or someone close to me, it would only cause bitterness and hatred to well up in myself, and I do not want that. As I turn to face my sister, she buries herself in my arms, sobbing. I cannot stop my own tears from coming down either. Eventually, we turn to go. We have to go to the Earth Sanctuary. There is nowhere else. In the clearing, I sit close by to my sister. Today, we need to be linked. Silently, I ask for help to know what we can do. We have lost our home and our parents. It feels like the whole early fabric of our lives has been destroyed. I find it very hard to settle today, but slowly the energy of peace starts to seep through me. Today, I need much healing and much help. In time, I begin to sense the light and the presence of my parents' energy. I feel them with me, so close. They seem to be telling me that they are well and okay. I cannot stop the sobs from erupting from within my chest, but gradually the thoughts seem to come for us to go to the temple. I feel much quieter as I begin to accept this idea. We would be welcome there. Afterwards, when we talk about it, we both agree. This is where we will go. The temple. I've been living and working in the temple for a few years now. We were welcomed as we expected, especially when the healers discovered that I had abilities in that direction. I have enjoyed the training I have received, and it wasn't long before I was working directly with people coming here for help. The area of healing where I have the most aptitude seems to be with healing the traumas of the mind. Often now, when people come here with problems of this sort, then I am the one called to help. The temple often seems to be crowded with people. Many, many people come here. It is the only temple to service our town. In fact, I feel that we do not have enough healers to cope with the demand. We try our best, but sometimes we find ourselves becoming very tired. I find that I enjoy very much helping other people with healing. It gives me much more pleasure than working with the boats. Also, I like listening to people's stories and the problems they tell. This way, I am learning more and more about our society and the way that people treat each other. Some of what I learned has disturbed me greatly. I wish I could do more to help. People come here when they are ill, when they have suffered injuries, and when they feel stressed from trying to work out their personal problems. However, people also come to us when they feel they have been wronged by someone else's actions. The temple is like a haven or refuge for them. They do not go to the council administration or to the military, who have charge of security in our town. They come to us. I feel that people do not trust the government or the military establishment. They do not feel that these institutions would really help them. We are often asked to intervene on someone's behalf. However, we cannot apprehend anyone who has committed crimes. All we can really do is to help people find peace in their hearts, if they are willing to forgive. Usually, this is the most help that these people are able to receive. The military are central to the government of our town and all the cities around us. They are supposedly the protectors of the peace within the town itself, and also guarding against groups or factions who may want to cause trouble to the town from beyond its boundaries. They have quite a large presence without it being obviously imposing. However, I have realized that there is much corruption from within that institution. Many of the personnel from within the military use their influence to fill their pockets and make themselves richer by taking bribes and abusing their position. When people come here suffering distress and complaining about the wrongs committed against them, it is often the military and the government whom they blame. They feel they are being made to do things which they don't want, and is making them feel ill inside. There have been many instances where people have told of being forced to pay money to others so their houses and livelihoods would not suffer. People are being threatened. They feel they have to form allegiances with members of the authorities to protect their own lives. This situation is breeding more and more mistrust within our society. I have learned that there have been numerous cases of houses that have been burnt down without apparent cause. Ours was not an isolated event, it seems. Each time nothing seems to be done about it, and life goes on as if nothing happened. This makes me ponder if the military had a hand in the death of my parents. I wonder if they had been threatened too. Within the town, there are civilian administrations governing education, building work, and other functions. But all of these bodies seem ultimately to be linked to the military, and even subservient to them. This makes me question how much our healing temple may also be influenced by the military government. My role within the temple is still a very junior one. Basically, I do what I am instructed to do by the senior healers. However, we do have to accept guidance about the way we pursue the healing. For instance, it is emphasized that we must not criticize the military in any way through our actions. Sometimes there are restrictions about who we may heal and in what way. Our leaders tend not to give reasons or communicate much about these situations. I understand that the military does not want us to exceed our authority. They want us involved in healing people and nothing more. I am sure that the military are aware that people come to us with their problems, many of them complaining about the treatment they receive from the authorities. They know that the temple is like a refuge where people feel safe. What the people do not want is for the temple to become a fermenting ground for any form of challenge to their authority. I can appreciate how much pressure is placed upon our head healers to ensure that this is so. Most of the time, I concentrate my attention upon learning more of the techniques of healing and practicing my skills upon people. My sister feels similarly to me about the wider situation. Sometimes we talk of these things together, but we do not know what we can do. On occasions, I still walk by the harbour near the boats, and I hear the singing of the waves and feel the warm friendliness of the stones and the earth beneath my feet. I sense that things are not as they used to be. There is not much joy and well-being that bubbles up anymore. I feel it is the opposition of the people that makes it so. This is sad, and I wish it could be different.
So,
a proposition. It is later. The head healer has called for me to attend a meeting. There is an important man who wishes to speak to me. This man has authority over our temple and many other temples in the surrounding area. He is like an overseer of the various temples' activities. I have not met this man before, and I wonder what he could want from me. When I enter the room, I am aware of two military officers standing on either side of the doorway. The administrator is seated behind a table at the far end of the room. There is nowhere for me to sit. As I approach him, I notice his pale skin. When he looks up, I see cold, staring eyes. It feels as though he is sucking energy out of me. I feel very small and afraid, and I do not like this man at all. Trying to protect my energy field, I find it difficult. This man is deliberately trying to make me feel uneasy. He expects people to be deferential to him. I sense his determination to make me do what he says, to submit to his will. Now that I am here with him, there is no escape. I feel very nervous and uncomfortable, hoping I will be strong enough. When he speaks to me, his voice is so quiet I almost have to strain to hear him. However, in the rest of the room there is silence, so I am bound to listen. He tells me that his colleagues have been watching me for some time. They have been impressed by my healing abilities and feel that I have considerable potential. Somehow, this makes me feel more anxious than contented. He is aware of my background and the fire that destroyed my home and killed my parents. He offers his sympathies, but I don't feel it. As he continues, he suggests whether I may like a spacious home to live in, somewhere to share with my sister and be comfortable. It would mean moving to the city, he tells me, but I could have all the facilities that I need. All that I would have to do is help him with his project. All I would have to do is to help him with his project. To be involved in this project, I would be working with many other scientists and healers. We would be working together to gather the earth energies using crystals. The aim of the project is to bring wealth and power to the people of the northern region. He tells me that this is a worthy endeavor, and that working upon this could bring me great status within the community. As I listened to him, I was not impressed. In fact, I feel appalled. To work for this man is the last thing that I would want to do in my life. In the pause that follows, he stares at me, and I see the threat in his eyes. I feel that this project is not a good thing. He has not said anything about how it would help other people, or how it would help the earth energy. Nothing, he has said, indicates that any form of love is involved with this. I feel very suspicious of him. Trying to gather my courage from within, I say to him that I am not interested. He reacts sharply, and I sense his anger. Immediately, though, he tries to disguise it, and he continues in his steady, quiet voice. The manner of his speaking is hypnotic, and I have to battle to resist him. He gives me an ultimatum. Unless I agree to help and to work upon this project, at least part-time, then I will not be able to work in this temple, or any other. There would be no place for me. When I still do not respond, he suggests that I may even be arrested if I do not cooperate. This man makes me feel afraid. I feel shocked and startled. Fumbling to try to find something sensible to say, I ask him for some time to think about it. He replies that he can give me a few days until the time of his next visit, but then he expects me to be packed and ready to leave with him. Inside, I feel deeply upset. I am going to talk with my sister. This is outrageous. and I'm sure she will support me. I could never work for this so-called project, but neither could I work any more in this temple, however much the administrator may threaten me. This meeting has made me aware of the kind of infiltration going on with our work in the temple. It is intolerable. In fact, the whole town seems to be seething with corruption. I don't feel I can live here anymore. We'll have to go. Escape from the town. My sister and I have come to the Earth Sanctuary. This is our refuge. It is the only place in our area which feels safe to me now. We need to seek guidance for our next steps. We have brought with us a woman younger than me. She has also lost her family in tragic circumstances. We have been trying to help her. Like us, she has been developing to be a dedicated healer, and I felt I could confide in her about my troubles. Immediately, she wanted to come with us, and somehow this felt right. We sit together within the clearing, and gradually I become quieter inside. It is only us who are here. I feel the familiar sense of spirit hands and energy moving through my body. Then the lightness comes. Today I feel myself joining with the energy of my sister and our friend, adjoining together so we feel united. I feel an energy of encouragement. For me to be true and not give in, that I must withstand the tests that come to me. I feel that I am being shown a way forward, that there is much work which I need to do, and somehow I have to try and help our society, and help the balance of energies be returned, if I can. These thoughts come strongly into my mind. I feel myself merging with my companions to form a common aim. What we are shown is for us to go to the mountains. As we talk afterwards, we all feel that it would be dangerous, especially for me, to stay in the town any longer. We feel that if we were in the town, we would be very likely to meet the same fate as my parents in one form or another. When I reflect about the administrator, it would not surprise me if he is involved in criminal activities beyond his supposed responsibilities. We have to leave today. In front of us, the mountains seem vast and unending. We do not know for what we are looking, or in what direction we need to go. We will have to listen inside and trust that we are protected and attuned together for our path. It is later now. We are in the mountains, and we have come to a sanctuary. It is a very beautiful and powerful place. As soon as we approached it, I felt that we were arriving where we needed to be. The sanctuary itself is hidden from view by trees, and apart from the energy of it which attracted us, we were not aware of it until we were almost upon it. The people here have welcomed us. We are talking with the man who is the leader of the sanctuary. His name is Shastar. He is a very kind and caring man. We have shared with him our story, and he seems very concerned. Initially, I feel he was testing us to be sure that he could trust us, but now he is confiding in us, sharing more with us about how he sees the situation. Shastar is very disturbed by what is happening, not only in our town, but in all the cities and towns across the region. He sees it as a part of a pattern which is extending in different degrees throughout the whole land. Here in the sanctuary, they have to be very careful to protect themselves psychically from possible attack. They have to be discriminating about whom they allow to enter the sanctuary. Many sanctuaries have been violated, especially the ones in the cities and towns. Usually, these sanctuaries are stripped of their crystals. Then the healers are taken. The crystals used to summon up energy from the earth to make weapons. The military are involved in this, and they seem to be wanting to develop these weapons to generate power. However, the earth energy does not want to be used like this. The healers here are aware that the network of energy across the land is becoming dangerously imbalanced. As part of the overall healing sanctuary, there is a cavern devoted to earth healing. This is a place of great power, with crystalline structures that tap directly into the earth's energy grid. The healers work tirelessly to try to channel energies into the earth, to try and nourish and replace what is being lost. They are trying to coordinate their efforts with other mountain sanctuaries throughout the land. Shastar is grateful we have come. He feels there is a great deal for us to learn, but also for us to contribute. He needs our help. They have been feeling that they were losing the struggle. There is a fear of what may happen if the energies become too far out of balance. They fear what the earth may do, how she may react. Even though sanctuaries are trying to link together and help, it is difficult because some have been taken and violated, and so the strength is not there as it could be. I understand that there is conflict between different factions in the land. Around further to the big cities on the east coast, there is fighting. It appears that there are groups of military who are wanting to assert a domination of their culture across the land. They are feeding their power to be able to assert their own interests. What we are also told is that the scientists who are involved in creating these weapons are so fascinated by the power that they are creating that they are losing sight of the potential damage that could be done. They are really captivated by this power, and so this is like a thirst in them. Their weapons suck energy from the earth. Then, as they experience this power, they become aware of the potential of how this power could create more power. But in the end, it can only lead to destruction, and we have to find a way to stop this. Part 2. Life in the Sanctuary. We have been living and working here now for some years. It has been a very positive experience for me, and I have learnt much. If I can describe the sanctuary a little, it is mainly situated underground within caves. There is some natural lighting coming through skylight from gaps at the top of the caves. It is quite a complex of different structures. Most of the healing work is done from within the caverns. However, there are also buildings, mainly wooden, that are outside the inner chambers. These are mainly for accommodation purposes, and have expanded in number of late. There is an intense atmosphere of peace and dedication as the healers go about their work. It is mostly quiet, apart from one chamber, which is used for sound healing, but this does not disturb anyone. Our young female friend has settled in well. She has developed a great fondness for crystals, and has been working with others who can teach her about these. I hardly see her anymore these days. With my sister, though, it is different. We have many shared interests, and we both spend much time talking with each other, especially about the situation in the land. However, the person with whom I have been spending most time is Shastar. He and I have become close friends. I have been surprised at how much he values my judgment and opinion. He is somewhat older than me, but not by so much. He was still young when he had begun to assume leadership of the sanctuary, but he is very well respected. Shastar tends to put the needs of others before his own, and there is much love in his heart. I am delighted that he has taken such a personal interest in my development. I feel very much love for Shastar. He is very wise, having a very soft and calming voice, with contrast with the anxiety that I sometimes feel when I think about the situation in the land. His influence helps to bring a serenity to the sanctuary that is very necessary. When Shastar speaks to me, it helps me to become more measured in my outlook. I know that my first tendency is to be impulsive. I want to get out and do something. Shastar, though, is helping me learn to think more before I act. He is able to caution me and help me to be aware of different procedures and contingencies that are necessary to plan before taking action. One of my main trainings here has been to practice communication using crystals. I have been given a wonderful smooth black obsidian stone. It is a beautiful shining stone that I can hold in my hand. I sense that it is very ancient, and it feels somehow familiar. This stone has become very precious to me. Using it, I have been learning to communicate and see through distances. Shastar gave it to me. He said that it was waiting for me. It had been in here in the sanctuary without anyone using it for a long time. But as soon as he knew I was coming, he was aware that it was for me. Shastar also has a stone. His stone is more translucent and is purple in color, crystalline. Together with Shastar, I have been practicing to be able to communicate and see. With him, I find it quite easy for us to find each other's wavelength and frequency. He, of course, has a lot of experience, but I feel that the ease of communication between us is also to do with our closeness. Using our stones, we can communicate thoughts, feelings, and words without actively speaking to each other. Gradually, Shastar has been training me to learn to pick up impressions of what is happening beyond our sanctuary in various situations throughout the land. He has been able to monitor what I perceive, help me focus it, and confirm its accuracy. I have become very proficient at doing this. More and more, I have been given the responsibility for communication with other sanctuaries to coordinate our activities. There are more people here now than there were when we arrived. It seems that many of the healers who have been working around the temples in the towns and cities of the north have been persecuted for non-cooperation with the authorities, in a similar way to what happened to me. People who refuse to join in with the projects of the authorities are suffering threats, torture, and sometimes death. I noticed that there has been a trickle of people finding their way up to this sanctuary because they have been called to come here. Within the sanctuary, there are people continually working to provide a psychic shield for the sanctuary, so that those who may wish to know about the sanctuary for acquisitive reasons will not detect it. At the same time, though, others are using crystal communicators to actually invite healers and people of good heart who are wanting to escape the troubles to come here. So those two things are happening at once. And I learn now that we were actually called to come here, my sister and I. It was not an accident. We were directed, and I could almost feel it when we came up to the mountains, that we knew where we were going. We all did, and we had to follow that calling. With all the various activities from within the sanctuary centered upon coping with the situation of crisis in the land, not so much attention had been given towards helping the sick and distressed. This has been given lesser priority because of the need of the land. Unfortunately, we have had to put this second. One of the most important places in the sanctuary is the Earth Healing Cavern. Here people meditate and attune to the energies of the earth, to channel healing, love, and power from the creator being of the universe to nurture the earth spirit. In the center of this cavern, there is a very large crystal sphere, as big as me. This sphere is very ancient and has been placed here long ago. It is gently held onto the floor of the cavern with links through the stones that support it to earth structures that go deep beneath our land. The crystal sphere feels what the Earth Mother feels. Our healings goes right to the heart of that aspect of the Earth Spirit that looks after our land. We have groups of healers constantly being rotated to channel energy through the crystal sphere. This has to be done carefully because of the power involved, and is done through the physical touch of the sphere itself, with two or four people engaged in that. Others, sitting further away, sometimes support the efforts with meditation and inner visualization. My sister and I have been pleased to learn how we can join in this and take our turn. What distresses us is that the crystal sphere is shaking slightly. In former times, it was completely still. The shaking is an indication of the disturbances that are taking place through the imbalances of Earth energy. In the time that we have been here, the shaking has grown stronger, and this is not a good sign for the health of our land. The Northern Cities. It has been quite an education for me to learn about the activities of the Northern Cities. As we look from the front of the sanctuary, it is not so distant over the horizon to the coastline where these cities are situated. I understand now that the military authorities of the various cities have apparently formed an alliance together. The little town where I grew up is within their jurisdiction. Shastar has suggested to me that I would be surprised if I went to one of these cities, just how many people are living there. From my insulated upbringing, I had no idea about the population structures around our land. But from what he tells me, there are literally millions of people living in the vicinities of these cities, and he tells me that these places have become bad and corrupt, particularly within the ruling classes. Much of the energy drain from the earth has been going there. For a long time, Shastar has been studying the nature of the disturbances emanating from these cities. He has been using his stone, but also gaining information from people who have fled from these places and come to us. He tells me that psychically, the ruling class from there are working together to create an empire of power. The healers and scientists are practicing psychic techniques to draw energy to them, for their own sense of power. Shastar has suggested that the leaders of the cities want to establish themselves as a center of power within the land, and even beyond that. Spiritual energy and power are being extracted from within the earth for their own use, so they can feel more powerful, feeling that sense of surging force which the earth can bring, and also to make their position psychically more prominent so they can have more power over others. Practically, we do not know exactly all the details of how they are doing this, and for what purpose. However, we are aware that many important people in these places have had edifices of themselves constructed. A hierarchy has been established in the society where people are being brought in from other areas of the land as slaves. People are being made to honor these leaders as great ones. This is quite contrary, though, to what we have been taught within the tradition of our land. We feel it is wrong. Shastar and I have been focusing our awareness using our stones, trying to discover what it is in these cities causing the most damage. Our attention returns continually to the activities of the healing temples and the corruption that has set in there. These temples have been there for millennia, but they are no longer being used for their rightful purpose. They should be centers of healing and places of worship for people to connect with the earth spirit, both for their own nourishment and to honor the earth spirit as well. However, the temples have been taken over by corrupt priests, and they are using oracles to manipulate the population. The temples serve as places of gatherings for the people. When people come together for the meetings by the temple, they are made to feel that they are being blessed. But this seems to be an illusion. The oracles are people who go into trance and are channeling information and to feed the population. However, we can see what is being channeled is not truth as it should be, but corrupt lies designed to serve the interests of these priests. We cannot tell exactly what is being said. We would need to go there to know that. But somehow, the people unwittingly seem to be led to contribute to the drain that is taking place. The people are no longer serving the earth and the earth spirit, but they are serving the leaders of these cities who only want power for their own gain. These oracles are going through an elaborate pretense with what they do. I can tell, as I look at it, that there is no love in what is being channeled. Therefore, I know it is not from spirit. With these priests standing behind the oracles are being controlled and fed what to say. We feel they may be punished if they do not say things correctly. Therefore, these oracles are little more than slaves for these priests. I feel very concerned for the ordinary people of these cities. It seems they have become poor and have little scope for self-expression. I can understand that the promise that their community could become rich and at the center of the world may be quite alluring to them. But they don't have an avenue anymore to connect with the earth spirit, except within themselves. I am sure that many of them probably don't even remember about the love of the earth spirit. And even if they do remember, they are being intimidated, so they cannot be open about this anymore. The energy from these temples does not make people happy anymore or enrich them. I sense that they are hungry, hungry in their souls. All that the ruling class appears to want is material wealth, material well-being and power over others. This is very empty. We can perceive energetically how power is being drawn to these leaders, and it is these priests who are orchestrating this. I feel a strong desire growing in me that I wish to help those people, if at all possible. For the whole time I have been living at the sanctuary, I have been aware that the only effective way that we are going to be able to help the land with regards to the disturbances that have been created is to be able to change what is happening at the source of these disturbances. It has felt immensely frustrating to me that we have not been able to do anything about this. However, now we may have our chance. Because of the trickle of refugee healers fleeing from the cities and towns of the north, Shastar has reached a stage where he has sufficient healers to cover all the basic functions of the sanctuary, plus some length... Right. Long sentence. Because of the trickle of refugee healers fleeing from the cities and towns of the north, Shastar has reached a stage where he has sufficient healers to cover all the basic functions of the sanctuary, plus some left over. With these surplus healers, Shastar is proposing that we engage in a mission and project of our own to try and liberate the people of these cities from their oppressors and start to rebalance the energies at the same time. It is an audacious plan, which could be quite dangerous. Which could be highly dangerous. However, we feel we have to try something, and everyone is supportive of the idea. I have volunteered to be one of those engaged in the mission. My sister wants to come with me. We have been placed in charge of a group going to one of the cities. There are two more groups going to other cities. The first stage of the project will be for us to set up a base for ourselves within the city, which we can build up a network and plan our operation. There are one or two contacts from within the city that may help us make our start. However, we'll have to be very careful and secretive, for we know that the military in these cities are ruthless and would not hesitate to torture or kill anyone whom they consider are getting in our way. We will stay in contact with the sanctuary through our stones and try to use this connection to increase the light and love energy in the cities as well. It will not be easy, but I know in my heart that if people do not begin to intervene by some form of constructive action soon, the problems of our land will only increase.
You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio.